Hello and welcome to Status Of. I'm your host and Golden Girls aficionado, AJ Miller. On this episode, we're going to take a look at the status of, well, us. The Abbey Agency was recently chosen as the agency of record for the Silver State Health Insurance Exchange. For those unaware, the Silver State Health Insurance Exchange is the state agency for Nevada that operates the health insurance marketplace known as Nevada HealthLink, which allows eligible Nevadans to compare, shop, and purchase quality and affordable health insurance plans. Customers can compare plan elements, prescription drug availability, and provider networks all through the simple and easy-to-use online marketplace. In partnership with Erica Aviles Consulting and Marketing for Change, we are charged with the goal of aiding the exchange in getting, you know, more Nevadans signed up for health insurance. Joining me today are Robert and Peter from Marketing for Change, a full-service creative firm anchored in social psychology and behavioral economics. Thank you both for joining me today.
Sure. Thanks. Glad to be here.
I know you guys are very, very busy, so I appreciate your time. You know, we just kind of wanted to get to know you guys. We at the Abbey Agency have partnered up with you guys on this great project for Nevada HealthLink. So first off, tell me about yourselves. I can, you know, read bios from the website, which are by far some of the funnier ones I've seen. But I'd rather hear it from you. Robert, let's start with you. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your role within Marketing for Change.
Sure. My background's in economics, and while I was on my way to being a policy wonk, I discovered consumer research and actually talking to people and realized I liked the intimate part of understanding problems just as much as the 10,000 foot view working with data. And that's led me to stops at political polling, corporate branding, and currently at public health and environmental work. I've worked on research projects ranging from trying to find out if it's a good idea to include Marvel superheroes in the circus, and the answer is no, by the way, to preventing suicide among college freshmen. So that's kind of is pretty much as big a spectrum as I can provide. I'm a senior counselor at Marketing for Change. I lead up the research practice and also with a focus on translating the work, the insights into actionable things that we can put into practice.
Fantastic. Peter, how about you? Tell us a little bit about yourself and your role within Marketing for Change.
Well, I go back. I was a newspaper reporter for years. You remember newspapers, those were the paper things that they would throw into your. And I later went into public policy and had an opportunity at one point in the state of Florida. The governor's office approached me about a campaign to reduce smoking. And they had just won a big tobacco lawsuit that became the Truth campaign, which was a big anti-tobacco campaign.
Oh, wow.
I ran that, and then that got me into this whole arena of behavior change marketing, social marketing, you know, marketing to make a difference for social causes. So I worked at a big nonprofit for a number of years, and then in 2005 founded Marketing for Change.
Oh, fantastic. You both have a huge background. Like, this is some heavy stuff you've worked on, and like some big, big stuff. That's fantastic.
It's all about being old. If you get old enough, you've had
my no, resume. Come on.
We are the two oldest people in the firm. So you just lucked out.
Oh, no, that's not true. Paul's older.
We're close.
Take that, Paul. So Marketing for Change and the Abbey Agency work together as part of the IPREX Global Communication Network. What exactly is that?
So it's all independent agencies. So the agencies are owned independently, but they work together frequently. And then they're kind of divided up by geography. And therefore, if you need people with different expertise or different reach, you can tap them. But unlike like a Fleischmann Hillard or a Porter Novelli, you know, there's not like this overhead that has to be kept, because we don't need to have offices in Nevada to work in Nevada because we work with Abbey. So an Abbey doesn't need to have this whole research and behavior change marketing practice because they work with us. And because we work together a lot, we're able to sort of provide all the benefits of, you know, all this sort of boutique expertise to firms or to clients without having, you know, the enormous cost of kind of keeping that expertise if you're not using it all the time.
That makes sense. So it's kind of like, you know, partnership over competition, really. Like, hey, yeah, let's all work on this.
And right. It's a partnership that repeats itself again and again and again. So you're not like just getting together for one deal or another deal.
Right.
You're getting together. And you're also, because we work together in the network, like I'm one of the leaders of the healthcare practice. I work with other people in the healthcare area and all the time. And so I'm learning from them. They're learning from me of what we're finding in different places. And yet you still have that independent agency, small agency can move quickly and you get, you know, people that are fairly senior on your account.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. It gives you the option to bring a ton of knowledge to a client.
Yeah. Like we have a firm that they, all they do is healthcare change management and mergers and so on like that. And they handle the, all the communication around that. That's all they do.
Wow.
So they know that stuff super well. So you can get like an expert that's done, you know, all the big mergers, and then they're going to come in and be like super helpful. And there's all kinds of things like that. There's a, you know, firm in Florida that is one of the leading policy advisory groups there. So, you know, you can bring that in. If you say, oh, you want to know about Florida? Here, we'll bring you a Florida person.
Oh, I love that. So let's change gears a little bit to be more about you guys and your work, really. You describe yourselves as experts in behavior change marketing, but isn't all marketing kind of behavior change? Like, how do you clarify that? Or how do you like break that apart?
Well, yeah, certainly buying is a, and selling are behaviors, but advertising and public relations has largely been organized just around that. So those are specific behaviors that can be helpful, but there are, you know, but they aren't necessarily informative of why somebody would wear their seatbelt, why somebody would, behave different to do something about climate change.
Right.
We look at the world through this idea of behavioral determinants, that there are 12 common sort of behavioral determinant categories. And then we have a bunch of questions that we get to that help us understand what behavioral determinant is working. So, you know, a lot of different behaviors act nothing like buying and selling. Buying and selling is very specific. So a lot of like just straight ad agencies that try to do work on other behaviors, they come at it as if it's buying and selling. And it's not. And so they end up taking a strategy without thinking through, you know, all the behavioral pieces of that. We, you know, you can kind of sum it up. It's actually, in some ways, it can be very complicated, you know, talking about heuristics or social norms or things like that. But in some ways, it's very simple. You know, if you make something fun, easy, and popular, it's more easy to do. More people will do it. So we see ourselves as making what's good, fun, easy, and popular.
I like that. It's almost like ethical marketing almost. You're not trying to get somebody to buy something because you're like, hey, I need you to buy this. You're like, no, this is a good thing. Like, please wear your seatbelts.
Yeah. Yeah. Or, you know, like, but it's, you know, it's not quite as good paying as getting people to smoke to quit them to smoke, but it's still, you know, you feel good at the end of the day.
And I can give you an example of how kind of that plays out in the research, the way Peter was describing it. We did a project for a nonprofit that was focused on childhood obesity. And what we were trying to get parents to do was reduce the amount of sugary drinks that they were giving to their children. And on the surface, you can look at some of the individual behaviors and they're very simplistic and they seem very easy for people to make. So for example, we want a parent of a third grader to not put a juice box in their lunchbox, but instead put a little bottle of water in there. Mm-hmm. And so again, sounds simple enough, but after you interview 90 parents and you're sitting there with them and they're telling stories about how they get through their day and all the things that they juggle. And these are single parents, parents with, you know, two jobs. And they tell you stories about the time they tried to put a water bottle in there and their third grader couldn't get the top back on. So they put it back in their backpack when it was half full. And the parent comes home to all library books in their backpack that are soaked at the end of the day.
Oh.
So you can see how, on the one hand, we're trying to do something that's helpful for them, you know, preventing obesity, childhood diabetes, all of these things. But on the other hand, we're creating a problem for them.
Right.
So you know, and if you don't acknowledge that and have empathy for it, you get kind of the traditional public health finger wagging, you know, you should do this kind of thing. And it falls on deaf ears. And to solve that problem, we created a product called the Better Beverage Finder, where parents could go in, you know, they know that juicy juice and all these things aren't necessarily healthy. So, but they're, you know, they could find a drink that is similar to them that their kids would like, that's a little bit healthier. Like they don't have to go all the way to the bottle of water that's going to cause these problems. So that's not really marketing in the traditional sense, that exchange that we try to create with them.
Wow, I didn't even think of that. A bell went off like, duh, like a lot of third graders like have hard times with these things. You guys are so smart. So how does your focus on behavior kind of change how you do research when it comes to clients? And how does that change your approach really?
Yeah, I think the key is it's the questions we ask and how we're listening. So we're going to ask different questions. We have questions that we've done over time that tell us that when people are answering them, you got to remember that people don't, they don't really know why they're doing what they're doing. They'll give you an explanation. But if you say, hey, why do you do that? Why do you smoke? Well, somebody will give you an explanation, but it won't necessarily tell you everything about what they're doing because some of it is subconscious and so on. So we have a series of questions we ask to try to get at, you know, what people value and what people are thinking at, what their needs are. And then another thing we do is we do what is called the doer non-doer analysis, where we look at people that are doing the behavior and people that are similar to them that are not doing the behavior and look for what the difference is. What is this person getting that's having them do the behavior that this person isn't? And that's really informative as far as where to go with something. So it's about sort of how we do it. In other ways, it's very similar. You know, we recruit consumers, we talk to them, ask them questions. We do quantitative, we do qualitative, we do modeling, all of that stuff that you would do in a large commercial campaign.
I love that. It's not, how do we get them to buy this? It's how can we solve a problem for these people? And that's
yeah, fantastic. Exactly.
Your work definitely speaks for itself. And I believe that's what made you the perfect partner for this Nevada HealthLink project, which listeners, don't forget, open enrollment ends August 15th. Sign up now at NevadaHealthLink.com. The main goal of this campaign is to get Nevadans some health insurance, basically, right? Like you would think this is life-saving. It's an easy sell, but sadly, not everybody knew that this tool was out there. What do you feel were some of the main challenges that you guys faced on this project?
Well, we've been working on health insurance since the ACA was passed, basically.
2014, when the exchanges went in.
And we were the original, federally looking at this and how do people react to this. And insurance is really complicated. Health insurance is very complicated and it can get more and more. The more you know, the more you realize what you don't know. So the pricing of it is complicated. And then if you add on top of that, sort of the pricing of how government subsidies work through the Nevada HealthLink, that makes it complicated. So it's trying to simplify it to people about what they're getting. And the idea that Nevada HealthLink is a platform where you can get your best price. Nevada HealthLink does not issue insurance. It is a platform to get the best price on insurance. Mm. And the only place you can get, you know, government help paying the premiums. And for somebody with a lot of children or something, you know, insurance is very, very expensive. But through Nevada HealthLink, it can be greatly reduced, you know, for some people, and these are not poor people, but these are middle-income people that are getting it for $0 because, you know, that in the scheme of things, if you have X number of your household is a certain size and you have to insure all those people, it can get really expensive. So making it simple, as this answer is maybe showing, as I'm trying to make it simple.
Well, also, AJ, to your point, you know, it's how we frame it. When you mentioned, you know, this is life-saving, it should be an easy sell. Well, not when you're talking to a 29-year-old who's in perfect health and may go the entire year without using the insurance that they're paying a monthly premium on, and when that could be going to their car insurance. So that's a bit, you know, that's a part of it, the awareness and sort of letting people know what these exchanges are. And like as Peter was mentioning, is part of it. But then there's also the part I just mentioned where helping people really see the benefit of it, as opposed to thinking that it's something that's there that, you know, they may not ever use.
Yeah, that makes sense. I as you guys are talking about these different projects you've worked on and just different things you've done, I'm like, because when I think back to years ago, I was a 20-something in radio and was getting paid nothing. And I remember talking to my HR person and being like, hey, do I have to pay for this insurance? She was like, probably. You're an adult. I'm like, but I need money. Like, so you guys are working on a lot of different things. I'm sure some of them are, you know, you're under an NDA and you can't tell us too many things, but what is your next big project? What are you working on that you guys are excited about that is coming up in the future? And, you know, what's happening for Marketing for Change?
Let me tell you, I want to tell you about two projects. One that we're very involved in, I think is pretty timely, which is vaccine hesitancy. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to help people understand the benefit of vaccines and make it easy, more fun, easy and popular to get vaccinated for COVID-19. And it's really interesting because there's everything, there's a wide range. There's not one campaign that convinces hesitant people to get vaccinated because there's not one reason why people are not doing it. So it's a lot of it's about targeting, a lot of it's about trust. I think that it's been politicized. And so that's very difficult because politics is now about identity or social identity.
Yeah.
And so there's very little that's more powerful than a sense of belonging. And your social identity is connected to your, it provides you a sense of belonging. And when that gets linked to a political thing, then it just gets very powerful. It's sort of like, and this is going to be a scary thing to some of you. I'm a New York Giants fan. The New York Giants are right now a terrible football team, but I am still a New York Giants fan. And they make mistakes. They draft the wrong people. They had a terrible coach one. And yet I still remained a New York Giants fan. So it wasn't a logical choice. And I think that there's, when you're talking about identity and things, it's like that. Like I have to be that. That's what I'm going to be, no matter how stupid they do, no matter what the owner does. And I mean, I'm sure there's other sports fans out there that can.
Well, it's like the Jerry Seinfeld joke. You're rooting for the uniforms.
All right.
And so because of the political piece, the vaccinations have come up with identity. So if you, are you abandoning your group if you're doing this? Are you, and also it's the other key thing is it's about risk, and people are terrible at calculating risk. We always, every day we take a risk, right? Anything you do has a risk to it. And so comparing risk is something, you know, humans tend to be pretty bad at, and we tend to do the default choice. So the default choice is always nothing.
Right.
So fighting against all that has been really interesting, and we're working on at all the free clinics around the nation. We're helping that group of medical providers. And then we're also working in the state of Maryland on the same thing, looking specifically at African-Americans and Latinx populations. And then the thing I want to talk about that we're doing is, I think Nevada can get into this, heat waves.
Oh, so yes.
Heat waves, you may not know this, but heat waves kill more people than hurricanes, tornadoes, and a whole list combined, but nobody really remembers heat waves. So there's this idea that you could name heat waves like you name hurricanes, and it would become an easier way to talk about it, and you could rank them. So it'd be an easy way to understand what we mean when we say a heat wave is coming, because not every heat wave is going to kill you.
Right.
Or is the same severity. And so communicating that has is super hard. So we're about to embark on some research on how we would communicate that, how we would name it. We probably wouldn't name it like we name hurricanes after like Fred and Joe. Probably have to think of something different because to differentiate it from hurricanes, that this is a different thing. And so how do you do that? You know, Greek letters, there's been a bunch of different ideas. So we'll be going out and doing research and doing these small groups, triads. So it's like 3 to 5 people and lots of them, and talking to people about it and try to come up with some concepts that will test quantitatively on a survey and figure out what to do. And so, I don't know, a year from now, maybe sooner, you know, you may hear that, hey, this is heat wave something, and that will be a result of this work.
I love that. That's, I may just be a marketing nerd, but that is like, that's exciting. Like coming up with something like this, like, you know what, you can have this. This is a free idea for you, Peter and Robert. You can name heat waves after the Golden Girls. Different Golden Girls, heat wave Blanche, you got us.
That's good. I love that.
I think that's yours. You can have that. That's a free idea. That's there
good.
You go.
That's good.
Oh, man. Peter, Robert, thank you guys so much. You both have very busy schedules, I'm sure, and I appreciate you taking time to appear on this little podcast. Do you guys have any final thoughts before we wrap? Anything you want to, you know, let people know about you, about marketing for change?
I want to say something about Abby Agency, because so we partner with a lot of, because we're this sort of specialty agency and we do a lot of research, we're pretty robust. We partner with a lot of different agencies, and the Abby Agency is the, just the tone, the people there, it's fun. You know, talk about fun, easy, popular. That's the happy agencies. That should be your slogan, because it is so much more fun to work with an agency that is so focused on what will really make a difference, is so flexible and smart, and just nice people. You know, it's not every day that you work with an agency full of so many nice people. So I'm an Abbey agency fan myself.
We really appreciate that, Peter.
This account is something people like to work on. Not all accounts are like that.
Robert, do you have any final thoughts before we wrap?
Yeah, I was just going to add, and you're just thinking about the importance of the work, just encourage folks to go to NevadaHealthLink.com and see how, you know, what's available for them and the different options and plans. Because, you know, we know awareness and just getting people there, you know, once they know about it, it can be a game changer. Like you said.
How quick can you check your price, Robert, in the interface?
You know, less than 5 minutes. I think you do your zip code, age,
household size, probably.
Household size, and that's about it. Yeah, and then you can find out what your discount is. So, yeah, real quick.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much for being on the podcast. Make sure you check them out. Your website is
marketingforchange.com. And then we have actually one of the more interesting ones are funeasypopular.com, which is our blog, which has lots of, you know, little pieces of information, you know, what's latest in behavioral science and how you can apply it to your life and to your campaigns. It's a great place to steal ideas.
I love that. I'm gonna go read that after this. I'm not gonna steal any ideas. I'm gonna see.
Oh no, steal them.
We put them out there so people could steal them.
We have a lot of other stuff.
Well, I'm gonna.
And we steal other people's stuff, so it all works out.
Perfect. It's the ecosystem of marketing. Yeah. Robert, Peter, I want to thank you guys so much for being on the show. Until next time, stay fierce. Mm-hmm.